Hey guys, a lot of community rugby league going on at the moment, and I want to give a shout out to the Go Winners. They've started the national championships up there really well with a 36-6 win over the Northern Territory yesterday and 24 over Victoria as well. So they're doing really well. NAIDOC week starts this Sunday, so I can imagine you guys got 1,000 shout outs.
Oh, hundreds now. But just quickly a shout out to Joey Salafia, who's also playing. He's my nephew. He's the captain of Queensland up there at the under 15s comp. But yeah, huge NAIDOC shout outs. I'll start off with the Northern Territory Rugby League. They've got their Deadly Cup happening on Sunday, which is awesome, at TRL Stadium, so good luck for them. RAB, Redfern All Blacks, one of the oldest teams in Sydney. They're hosting a really lovely community day down at Redfern Oval. There's face painting, jumping, castles, photo booths. All the RAB players will be playing that day. And it was really good to see Talina Simon, who we know is an RLW player. Also, you know, she's an artist. She worked with the club's junior players to do up some beautiful socks and that's going to be displayed this weekend when the boys take on LAPA down at Yarra Bay. So, yeah, but happy NAIDOC week for next week.
And, Champ, no doubt you've got some shout-outs for us as well.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly the same thing happened up the Mid-North Coast. Our celebration, you know, obviously NAIDOC week starts on Sunday, but a lot of events happening throughout this week. And actually on Sunday, the mighty Macleay Valley Mustangs, we've got our Indigenous round against Warhope at Verge Street Oval. So, again, a lot of different activities happening that day. Great cultural day. And, again, a great opportunity for us to showcase our culture on the Mid-North Coast. But yeah, some great events happening, and hopefully everyone can get out and celebrate NAIDOC week.
And I want to cross sports here and go into wheelchair basketball. Their first ever Kevin Coombs Indigenous round this week. So they'll be celebrating that as part of NAIDOC week. And it's just great to see our culture celebrated in all sports, in all competitions, in all areas of the country. So well done, everyone. Now, I want to give a shout out too to our Ken Stevens medal nominees. Dylan Lucas at the Knights there, Joshy Curran at the Bulldogs, Jareem Buller doing fantastic things at the Tigers. And I've seen a lot of what these guys doing. I can't pick a winner from those three as well as the other ones, but I know that our Indigenous players are always highly represented in that Ken Stevens medal bow. And it's great to see him give so much back.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you were a part of that one year too, Dino. But it's so good to see, you know, not just our Indigenous players, but all players giving back to the game that we love. I think it's really important that they keep grounded and that they stay humble. And I think by giving back to community, that helps them do that. But our boys have always been pretty, you know, they've been very, I guess, always around that area where they love their communities and they love doing community work. So congratulations to the boys.
Now, to the Rugby League weekend that was just had, round 17. Yep. Champ, I want you to give me one thing that really took your notice on the weekend.
Well, I love Penrith and obviously Canterbury on Friday night. It was an unbelievable game. And I think going from that, Dean, I believe that Canterbury come out better. Looking at the game itself, very defence orientated, but I thought that Canterbury really found a style to beat Penrith. I know they didn't come away with the result in the night, but I think with them, I think coming away with it, they'll leave with more confidence. They had a lot of offloads within their game. They created a lot of opportunities, but they just didn't execute on the night. Penrith, I know, Bo, you spoke about them making a big run. It was semi-finals come early, but I think it was two, you know, similar contrasting styles.
Yeah.
But again, it was such a great, entertaining game.
I'm with you. I really like the way the Bulldogs played. And like you said, the execution wasn't there, but you could see that they were getting the numbers really early, especially from that offload game. So, look, I definitely think we'll see them in the top four come finals time. But, you know, both teams have a pretty good run home as well.
And if you look at it too, you know, the only points that come or the only try that come from the Penrith was a charge down by Nathan Cleary. A lot more of the attack, you know, a lot of opportunities for Crichton on that right-hand side of the field. Cherry missed one on that left-hand side. I just thought the battle of the possession in the middle of the ruck too. I thought that Canterbury had their opportunities but then turned over the ball. I think they leave there with a lot more confidence than when they went there.
And I think it was deliberate. Everything they did was deliberate. Yeah. Whereas, like you said, the charge down was a bit of a, you know, they fluked that a bit. So without that, they probably wouldn't have scored. But, yeah, I don't know about these Bulldogs. But I told you, Zach Penrith would be there.
I am going to go into the structural difference that the Bulldogs have when Lachlan Galvin comes into the game and Sexton gets moved to hooker. That's when that charge down happened because they've only got one noted kicker there.
Yep.
And Cleary read that play that they only had one kicker, so they were able to put pressure. And I thought, like you said, the Bulldogs missed opportunities to score tries. They're things that you iron out as a spine, as a group going in the game. Into the second half, you learn, you improve, and you hit your right options at the right time later in the second half. They changed the way they played by bringing Galvin into the team.
Yep.
Is this dismantling them too much at this time of the season?
Oh, well, you've got to ask yourself, would you rather have Galvin or not have Galvin? I think you'd rather have him. And I think he adds that little bit of element of surprise. Yeah, the charge down, but again, that's something they'll take and learn from it. Mm. I think it was great to see Cameron Serraldo. He knows the style you need to play to beat Penrith. And they tried that in the weekend and they were very, very close. Coming away from it, two teams that'll be there right at the end.
Mm-hmm. The other game that took my notice, especially the team with their performance, was the Dolphins. 50 points, they can score tries, this team. They've got great attacking weapons in there. Katoa is developing into one of the players in the competition. Hamaso, I'd say, would be probably the player in the best form at the moment in club football. Bo De La Cruz, I know you're a big fan of this Dolphins team and they really took South apart.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Katoa. I think he's the complete package, Dino, as we spoke about pre-show. And I think he's got everything that you want in a half. You know, he controls the middle of the field really well. The outside backs, he's just got a kicking game. He's got, you know, he's great defensively and he's someone that, you know, if I was to make a team, he'd be probably one of my first picks. But, you know, having the likes of somebody like Hammer at the back of him and having him on the inside is just, you know, something you can't ask for. And I guess that they are, for me, to watch them every week, they're the best attacking team in the game, 100% hands down.
Confidence, exciting. They look like they've got all the tricks. But defensively, are there doubts around this team? And will they step up against the big teams come the end of the year?
Well, I think that's the key. Come the end of the year, we've seen teams in the past, like your Penriths years ago when they had the, you know, Reece Wester, Preston Campbells, and then we've seen the West Tigers. They were willing to outscore you. You score 30, we'll score 36. Mm-hmm. I think you've got to put the Dolphins into that sort of basket because the two teams we spoke about in regards to Penrith and Canterbury, they won't want to come up against a Dolphins team that can really put on points in quick periods of time because, you know, it's going to be best attack versus best defence. And I think that later on in the year, especially as they keep building the Dolphins, getting more confidence, they're a team you just don't want to face late in the year because they can just outscore you at very quick amounts of time.
And I think we've seen, Bobo, in the last four games, they've scored 50-plus points.
Yeah.
So we know that they're a team that can score points and score more than you, like you're saying. You know, defensively might not matter in their game.
Yep.
I want to go into player movements now and a few big ones here, particularly Indigenous boys that have been a lot talked about and spoken about in this space. Cobbo going to Selwyn, Cobbo going to the Dolphins. What's your thoughts on that? I think this is a great move for Selwyn.
I think it is. I know it is. I feel for him. I felt he's been very disrespected in the way that the club handled it. I think with them knowing that he loves Queensland and he always wanted to be a Bronco for life, you know, and knowing that he would never leave, they put that deal on the table for him, nearly half of what he's on now, and just, you know, they caught his bluff. And I'm really glad the way that Christian Wolf has come to him, all very confidentially, all very quiet, and just offered him what he deserves and what he, you know, really valued him. So, like I said, I don't think he was ever going to come to Sydney. I don't think he's a Brisbane boy or he's a Cherbourg boy, and he always goes home, when he's got time off. So, yeah, it was a really good move by Christian Wolf there, and he's a really good coach. He's got a lot of Indigenous family as well, so he understands the dynamics of it. So, yeah, congratulations to the Dolphins. I think they've made a really good choice by signing Selwyn.
Another player, Tyrell Sloan, down at the Dragons, been told he's free to look elsewhere.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked out with Tyrell under Shane Flanagan, fair to say.
100%. And I think with Tyrell, you know, he's got to sort of ask himself, we see how good he is in attack. We see some of the brilliant tries and, how good he can be. I think the question that he's sort of got to ask himself too is, you know, can he develop into that fullback position and cement his spot in one of these NRL teams? Or again, is it coming through as a winger over the next few years? We've seen a couple of years ago, Bevan French made the decision to go over to the English Super League and become one of the best players in the English Super League, the best player in the English Super League. Again, I don't know if that's a decision for Tyrell right now, but I think over the next couple of years, he really has to develop his game, or again, that might be an option for him moving forward.
Mm. Does it worry you, Bevan French going to England, David Armstrong going to England, Tyrell Sloan now can't find a spot? Does it worry you that these young Indigenous boys, they don't fit into today's NRL competition?
Oh, I don't think it worries me. I think it's just great opportunities as well. Like, if Super League's giving them the opportunity that they're not going to get in Australia, by all means, you know, head over there. They've got to think about their future too, you know. And at the moment, like you said, like, when you look at every single team in the comp, that fullback position is pretty much cemented with nearly every single team. So, yeah, maybe going over there might be his next option. And you never know. If he heads over there and heads to somewhere where Bevan is, you know, that's that, that connection he's got there. But it's, it doesn't scare me. I just think it's more opportunity for our mob as well.
The last player I want to talk about, Latrell Sigwald. Mm. Obviously standout in the Crewe knockout and got his opportunity at the Dolphins and then on to the Broncos. Mm-hmm. Hasn't presented for him at Brisbane, but to go to South Sydney under Wayne Bennett, who Wayne Bennett brings the best out of raw, talented players, makes the most out of our young Indigenous players with the way they play football and encourages them to be themselves. This is a good move.
100%. He's killed it this year in the Queensland Cup. Like you said, with the last two that we mentioned, their coaches, it doesn't suit their style of play or what sort of player they want. Mm. I think with Bennett, when we look at the players he's developed or he's backed, over the years, he goes for footballers. He goes for players with that skill. We looked at Bud Sullivan this year. He's really given him an opportunity to shine. So I think it's a great move for Latrell, and I hope it, he maximises the opportunity at the Rabbitohs.
Mm-hmm. Origin teams have been announced, and it's pretty exciting. I didn't think we'd be going to a Game 3, but we are going to a Game 3. This lady's got to take a lot of credit. You made the call here a couple of weeks ago. Hammer to fullback, Papali'i to return. And we all looked at you silly, thought you were really desperate in the Queensland, doing the Queensland thing.
And they're running you down on Facebook too.
Yeah, they were running me down on Facebook.
But it's on the cards. Billy Slater, he listened. You called, he listened.
He must have watched the show.
What do you think about the selections now?
I love the selections. I'm looking at this team going, we got yous. I'm going to call it. But look, Hamaso to, to number one, that's his position. You know, he's definitely probably the most informed fullback at the moment. He knows everything about that position. I think he's going to attack really well, especially coming up to those, up to halfway. We've seen what he can do. I don't have much to say, but this one for me, you know, I made the call out for Josh Papali'i to come in. He must have heard me as well. But, I reckon we'll get a good 20 minutes out of Josh and to absolutely terrorise that forward pack. And I think, you know, they were setting up not, you know, thinking that somebody like Josh Papali'i was coming back into the team, and now they're going to have to change their whole structure, right? Because, well, this is my prediction, you know, that they know that they can beat us up the middle a lot of the time. And but I think with this fella coming back in and really setting the standard and that Queensland spirit for Mighty Maroons, I reckon we're going to go 2-1 against you next week.
Champ, what do you think of this Queensland team? Yeah. Because I'm actually nervous when I look at that team.
Yeah, I think Billy's won the selection battle here, and I think he's caught, New South Wales have been caught off guard a little bit. I think he's worked out that the first 20 minutes is just, let's just go toe for toe, burn some players out. And from the first game compared to this Game 2 and Game 3, his bench is so strong. You know, when you look at the bench and you look at guys like Kurt Mann, Lindsay Collins, Pat Carrigan, Jeremiah Nanai, he's worked out that game after 20 minutes through to the 60-minute mark is where the game's won and lost, and you want your key players out in them key positions during that time. As you said, I can't believe we're in this position, and I think New South Wales assumed Queensland would pick the same team. And look, you know, we should have beat them in Game 2. We'll take the same team to ANZ in Game 3, and we should be too good if we complete our sets. Now it throws a real spanner in the work. 100%. And it looks dangerous and scary. So it's going to be a great game and a lot of reputation on the line as well.
Now, Gamet Shibasaki there, an amazing selection, well-deserved selection. He's been outstanding this year.
Yep.
But it's come with a lot of sacrifice, Bo.
100%. Like, he was on a training trial from Wynnum Manly. So he sacrificed. He left his family in Townsville, his missus and his bub. Went down to Wynnum Manly, got a training trial with the Broncos. Day one of pre-season, he was one of the last to finish the fitness test, you know. So he ripped into pre-season. He worked on his diet. He's worked on everything off-field that he needed to have himself ready to go for the season. And look what it's come up with. You know, he's come up with the goods. He's just trained so hard, and we've seen what he can do on the field. And he's absolutely terrorising teams there on the outside edge. But, I'm really proud of him, and I'm really excited to see him chuck on the Maroons jersey because he deserves it.
Champ, this takes me back to a time. Michael Maguire, coaching at South Sydney.
Yes.
Kirisomi Arvau, Dylan Walker, two big physical centres.
Yep.
Young, coming in, inexperienced.
Yep.
And Michael Maguire turned them into premiership winners, and Dylan Walker played for Australia. he's doing the same thing with Gamut Shibasaki. He likes these big, strong bodies.
I was there at the time too. It was a couple of other players too who really developed Tom and George Burgess when they come over from England. And I think if you get that hard-working mentality, it works really well for some players because that's all they need to go to the next level, where some of the other players don't like that army sort of style camp. That sort of hurts their game. But this is a great story for any young player, you know, that just keeps persevering and persevering. If you work hard enough, you will get opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to see him play on the weekend, next Wednesday night, even though he is wearing that Maroons jersey. But you've got to give credit to Madge, and you've got to give credit to being able to develop him and getting his potential, fulfilling his full potential.
Yep.
And we're seeing that now.
I think it could be a masterstroke selection from Billy Slater.
Yeah.
One thing I'll give Billy Slater as a coach, he's not afraid to have a gamble.
Yep.
He won't go with safe. He thinks outside the box and he's looking to play a style to try and find a weakness in this New South Wales team. Now, if Billy can pull this off, which I didn't think was at all possible, especially after game one, does Billy go down as one of the great Queensland coaches?
He does, because every time they go into a series, they're the underdogs. And he won the first two series, lost last year, very tight series. This year, he's got them back from the dead to a position where they could almost win away from home. Billy Slater's a winner. He plays to win. He doesn't pick these safe selections and what the media wants. He looks at each game, dissects it and goes, how can we win?
Yep.
We'd rather have an opportunity to win. If we get beat by 40, we'll cop it. Mm-hmm. He's there to win, and he's picked players in this team and in positions where they can win. He made a big call by dropping his captain for game two, but it come off. And, yeah, either way, Billy Slater's a fantastic coach. And I think, you know, moving forward, we'll look back on this and look at how great he was by his team selections.
Now, look at the Blues team. I feel they have gone with a safe team and a team that probably could have wrapped up the series in game two. They're going to play the same style.
Yep.
I think Billy's going to change and adapt his style over the three games. But New South Wales gone with the same team. I think this is a massive game for Nathan Cleary.
Yeah.
He's got to step up in this game and dominate to put himself into that discussion of the great halfbacks. You think of all the great players that get mentioned as immortals, they didn't perform fantastically in club football week to week, but in Origin they shone above all the stars.
Yeah.
Nathan Cleary's yet to do that. I feel that this is a game that he must stand up, he must win this game for the Blues to enter into that next echelon. Because the team is selected around him, is made for him. He's got Liam Martin, he's got Stephen Crichton, who he's had combinations with. He's got Luai. You know, he's got all of his players around him that play the same. Dylan Edwards.
Yep. I think it's a real big legacy game for a lot of people, but most of all, Nathan Cleary. You know, as you mentioned, Dino, if you look through these teams, the majority of the Australian team are going to come out of New South Wales, and he's got the players there that he's played with for a long period of time. I think it's a big legacy game for a lot of people. Munster to back it up. You know, Dearden, does he take the next level? Edwards. I think New South Wales, I believe New South Wales, have the best back five, but they need their halves to deliver. The combination of Luai and Cleary at Origin level hasn't been as successful as Cleary with other players or Luai with other players. Yep. So big test for Cleary, and I think legacy's on the line for game three.
Well, it's a week and a half away, but I'll tell you what, I cannot wait.
Go the Maroons.
My name's Mackenzie Stevens. I'm a prop for Canterbury Bulldogs. I'm originally from Normanton, up in the Gulf Carpet area. My nana's mob is from Mapoon, up in the Cape. There's a few groups up in Mapoon. My nana was Tepe Thigi, which also makes me a Tepe Thigi woman. She was born and raised up there on the missions. She then was relocated to a small community called Kawanyama, and then later on moved to Normanton, where most of my family call home. My nana and my two brothers are buried there, so just going back there to reconnect with them as well. Sorry. We have a really big family. My nana's one of 13, my mum's one of 8. My family's a pretty big rugby league family. Growing up, my brothers played. My dad coached the Normanton Stingers. I was around that from a very young age. Loved the sport, made me really want to get into it. Growing up, I rode horses. I did competitive barrel racing, and I won a few buckles doing that.
All right, the big run home. Here we go. What a gallop.
I even qualified for America at one point, but I had to give that up for footy. My dad always wanted me to play. I think he wanted me to be a boy, so... When we relocated to a town called Dimbula, I was 11. I started playing for the Atherton Roosters with the boys. When I was 14, after I'd left the boys' age group, my parents would drive me to Townsville every weekend, 4 hours, because there wasn't any local footy. They've had to sacrifice a lot for me. I wouldn't be sitting here in front of you today if it wasn't for them. And then I got into the girls' system. I just kept making some rep sides. Having to move away from country to get more opportunity, it's just very, well, in my case, very hard. Just going back there in general, reconnecting with family, it's very cleansing. My favourite player growing up would probably be Cameron Smith. Don't ask me why, because I am a Queenslander, but just the way he was as a person on the field and off the field just really inspired me to be that type of person. Big mob, they all come. They love watching me play and also love to represent my family, my culture, very cup-filling. I love the way Millie Boyle plays. It's the hard yards she does and the hard work she does for her team on the field and off the field. It just really makes me want to be like her. My rugby league goal, like any other girl playing the sport, is to make NRLW. I really want to make Indigenous All-Stars so I can represent my family and my background. With these two new teams, the girls' game growing. It's just really exciting to see. Shout out to my mum and dad and all my family. Love yous.
What a great young kid there. Very well spoken. I know all that mob up there in golf country, they'd be very proud of it. Actually, big shout out to all them golf communities up there, Doomadgee and Normanton,
Warrington.
Yeah, we love all that mob up there. No doubt they'll be tuning in the up-and-coming Bulldogs play. They'll be watching her closely. Now, Bo, NRLW, it starts this weekend. We've got 41 Indigenous players across this competition. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to that, for one, having so many of our girls within the NRLW, but definitely the Dogs coming in and the Warriors coming back in. I think that'll be, it's so exciting. But Jada Taylor is definitely one I want to see back on that field. You know, she had a bad ACL injury last year while she was playing. And, she's worked really hard off field in pre-season to get back. So, you know, I'm looking forward to watching her play once again.
It all starts Thursday night. And I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to is the battle of the number nines.
Yes.
Quincy Dodd, Tanika Todd-Hunter. They'll go up against each other. The two hookers from our Indigenous All-Stars team. They're different types of players. Quincy, a bit of a calm head, a bit of a control player around the middle, where Tanika Todd-Hunter, just toughness and enthusiasm. And she got a real good running game. And I think she'll be excellent to watch this weekend. I can't wait to see all the games, but that battle between those two number nines, make sure you tune in and watch that on Thursday there. They'll rip into it. Now, it's a shortened round 18 of the NRL this weekend. Champ, AJ, he's playing there again for the Rabbitohs this weekend over at Fortress Brookvale. What do you make? Will he get how many tries are you going to get this weekend?
Well, he didn't get one on the weekend, so I've probably got to say two to make up for last week. So hopefully two, and that'll bring him closer to the record.
Now, while Alex Johnson sits on one wing, the battle on the other wing between Jason Saab and Tyrone Munro, two Indigenous boys there that are coming through the ranks. Yep. A lot of speed there, a lot of attacking weapons there. Really looking forward to this battle between those two over there. Fortress Brookvale, there's always a lot of points scored over there at Brookvale Oval.
Yeah.
How do you see that battle there, champ?
Well, speed. You mentioned speed, and these two are excitement machines. They bring the ball back really, really well, and I've loved the way Tyrone Munro has developed this year, especially bringing the ball out of trouble. And we know Saab, especially when out at 4 points, how many tries and how many breaks he can make on that right edge. So this looks like it's going to be a great matchup. Hopefully Ty Ty gets the better of him, and hopefully a South victory on the weekend as well.
Now, there's a lot of star players that, you know, you look at our star wingers, and we've always got to have these Indigenous wingers that are out there.
Yeah.
The Josh Adokar, the Dane Gagai, that sort of era's going ahead now. These two has two young players coming through, and Saab's had a bit of a disrupted run with injuries and stuff, same as Ty Ty Munro. But they're both the future of our Indigenous rugby league, don't you agree?
Yeah, 100%. You know, like you said, the speed that these two have got is just next level. And I think, you know, Jason Saab has had a lot of experience, I guess more than Tyrone, but, you know, we've seen Tyrone and what he's developed and how he's developed in the last year or two, and he's just gone from strength to strength. So, you know, once again, like, let's see how they go on the weekend. I know Jason Saab's definitely got the height over Ty Ty, but, good luck to both of them. But I think Tyrone might have this one.
NRLW, NRL, State of Origin around the corner.
Wow.
All you rugby league lovers out there, it's a weekend perfect, made in heaven. Get out there and enjoy your footy.